Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our guest today, Grant Wacker, Senior Vice President and Wealth Specialist from Wells Fargo. Grant, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Welcome, Grant.
Pleasure to be here.
Grant, you're in a unique position down at Wells Fargo, a lot of experience, a lot of good things that you can do for business owners. Can you give us a little background on yourself? I understand you're an attorney and you've been a trust officer.
Right. I guess it's a non-practicing attorney in the sense I'm still licensed, but bringing to bear some of that background, and also I've been a trust officer, so very familiar with the trust and estate side of things, but all of that, of course, in serving clients gets connected with their investments and all of their planning issues. So I've been doing that kind of work now for probably the last 15 years.
And how long have you been with Wells Fargo?
10.
10 years, and your position there is Senior Vice President and Wealth Specialist.
That's right.
Now, you and I have had some discussions. I know that you get involved with a lot of the business bankers down there in sort of a support position to help them with business owners and business owner issues. Is that correct?
That's right. Sometimes issues come up, larger issues usually, you know, about the business owner thinking in a broad way about their business, where they're going with it, that kind of thing. And so the business banker has an opportunity then to say, well, you know, let me have you talk to Grant a little bit. He's familiar with those issues and maybe can give you some ideas.
So if one of your business bankers calls and says, I've got a business owner client, he's owned a business for about 20, 25 years, and he's thinking about where he's going with this business and what he's going to do, they set up an appointment, he comes down and talks to you, what happens next?
Well, usually it starts with learning a little bit more about his situation, because the most important thing in the planning role is to understand, you know, what his goals might be. And sometimes the clients themselves aren't very clear on what their goals are. But by understanding, you know, their situation in life, you get a pretty good idea, and you can have a conversation to understand, you know, where they are in terms of their business, where they are in terms of their family, any special situations that they may have, and what their goals would be near-term and long-term. And then you can start getting more into the various issues that they'll have in trying to reach those goals in whatever time period they're looking at.
So you help them to frame those goals. I would assume a lot of people create goals based upon the options they think are available to them. So you open up those options?
That's right. Oftentimes, a little bit of a chicken and the egg in terms of what are the strategies and what are the goals, because you might not know you can get to a certain place if you didn't know
right.
about a certain strategy. So the way I like to think about it is this is an interactive process, and sometimes the first meeting will end with a question and there'll be something to think about and we might get back together again. Eventually what we want to become clear about is, you know, where you are now, where you want to go, all the different needs and desires, maybe your dreams that you have. Think about life in a big way, and try to then match up what you need to do in order to make all those things happen.
So a lot of times I'd imagine business owners have gone through the process. They started out, they were young, they took a risk, they started a business. Next thing, they had a family, they've got children, they've got the house, been in business 15, 20 years, and they get to a point where some event maybe causes them to say, where am I going with all of this, and what happens if something happens to me? And then if your bankers are there, you're there, then you're the guy they can come to and say, Grant, I've done pretty well so far, but what happens now? What if I get injured? What if I'm hit by the bus? What happens to my family? What happens to my business?
Right. Well, and I wish that a lot of business owners would kind of find that question and take hold of it. I think often it's the business bankers thinking about that first, because the business owners, as you know, are so involved and engaged in their business that sometimes those larger questions don't get a lot of attention. But like you say, there's things that come up in their life and all of a sudden cause them to think about it. I was looking with a couple people at a buy-sell agreement not too long ago, and we were looking at the valuation provisions of that buy-sell, and I had two partners sitting in the room, and we were asking that question. And what it really translated to was, well, under the terms of this agreement, what does it mean for your family if one of you dies? I mean, here's what the buyout's going to be. Here's how you valued this in the past, but what does this mean for your family? So I think the more that you can translate any of the technical issues, this isn't a question about a buy-sell, it's a question about your life and your family's life. When you start seeing it in that way, you start seeing the significance of it, and then, you know, are motivated a little more to start thinking about what I should be doing to make the right things happen.
So as you have those discussions, then quite often I would imagine you find some holes in the planning process. Maybe they don't have life insurance. Maybe they don't have disability insurance. Maybe there's something else. Is that part of the discussion that you have with these business owners?
Yeah, it runs the gamut. I mean, there are some business owners who have nothing in place. There are some who have a great deal in place. And there are some who had something in place and it was great at one point in time, but it's not serving them correctly today because of changes in their business, changes in the law, you know, all kinds of different changes. So, and then it's a question really of there are so many different layers of this as business owners come to realize, but maybe they don't categorize them this way. I mean, you have financial planning issues, you have income tax issues, you have investment issues, you've got insurance, estate planning. And you can't start and deal with all of those at the same time. You have to look at the situation, look at where the most important issues are, and start talking about those.
Prioritize.
Yeah, prioritize. Or it might be that somebody has a plan and quite a great deal is in place and there's not a lot, but maybe there is a gap here or there's something there.
And there's really no right or wrong in these discussions. There's just, what are they trying to accomplish? What are their goals? And what do you have to do to get there?
Right. And maybe to the same point, no cookie cutter. I mean, that one size does not fit all. You know, everybody, business owners, just because they're business owners doesn't mean their businesses are alike. It doesn't mean their families are alike. It doesn't mean their goals are alike. And so all of the planning really needs to be customized around, you know, their situation.
Now, Grant, do you also get into the discussions on the valuation issues and the risk factors that might be perceived by a buyer when it comes time to sell the business and talk about those things?
Sure. And one of the things I do is there's a certain degree to which I'll go down a road if we can see that there are some valuation issues. For example, when I was talking about the business was worth quite a lot more than the buy-sell was going to provide. If we're in the process of thinking about a business and selling a business, we might talk about, you know, trying to do things we can, what can we do to increase the value of the business? But at that point, I might also say, you know, one of the best things you can do for yourself right now is find somebody who specializes in that activity, who is your business broker, because they will be able to guide you in that. In the same way, I would be aware of certain tax planning issues, maybe on a purchase or a sale. But as we get into the, you know, the nitty-gritty of that, you know, the best thing you can do is talk to your accountant. So there's a sense in which I'm familiar with the landscape, and I want to help people see and have perspective around where they're going, but they're still going to need a whole team of professionals for certain types of transactions.
So you're really sitting down with them and brainstorming through where they are, where they've been, where they want to go, and maybe talk about some of the drivers of enterprise value and talk to them a little bit about these danger situations. What happens if something happens to you? Do you have a management team in place? Do you have life insurance? Do you have is the structure there so that if you are disabled or if you're hit by the bus, that your family will be taken care of and the business can continue in operation?
Yeah, all of those things, and then also the other side of what happens if I do sell the business. And, of course, that's going to vary upon the situation. If they're selling a piece because they want to keep it in the family, to the family, there might be, you know, there's still have the business risk because the way they're getting paid, it comes out of the business. So that might affect their retirement. Or if they're getting cashed out by a third party, then the question is, what am I going to do with the proceeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
There may be pre-sale planning that's, significant to do for one reason or the other, if they have a charitable goal, for example, something like that. So it's going to vary with the situation as well as their goals, and then try to bring the tools out of the toolbox that fit. And again, sometimes you have to discuss some of the tools, or they wouldn't have known that there was a possibility in that direction. But usually it's the, and this is what I love about this job, is it's really about these people, right? And they have wonderful situations and stories, and they're just like any other group of people. Some of them have five kids, some of them have no kids, some of them have a disabled kid, some of them have to, you know, they've got all different kinds of things they need to address in their personal situation. And the question is, what strategy do we take, or strategies do we take to get accomplished the things we want to do?
Now, would you begin working with me? When would be an ideal time to begin working with a small business owner or a business owner?
Well,
would you start working with me 10 years before I want to sell?
I think so. Because, again, it runs the range. If your family, let's say, is dependent upon this business and you have five children, and you're, 40 years old, okay. Well, if you do get hit by the bus, it's going to be kind of important for all those people to have something figured out, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot different than the same exact situation, but you're thinking of selling your business and we're not worried about, you getting hit by the bus, but it'd be a whole different range of issues we'll go across. But so business owners really have some of the most complex, I think, wealth planning needs of any group that's out there. There are just so many different layers to it. You know, even if you're talking about a transition in a business, you could be talking just about transition of management and keeping ownership. You could be talking about transitioning, both of those to the next generation. And you overlay all of a sudden family dynamics around all of the legal structures and the financial structures, and it can be
a lot more moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, and it doesn't feel that way, I don't think, necessarily to the business owner. They're just dealing with life. They're solving problems. They're taking care of the human resource issue, and then they're going and talking to the supplier, and they're doing all this stuff. But when they start having to think about what happens if I'm not here, you have to start thinking in terms of all the different functions, all the different hats that you're wearing. And there isn't always a person who can do all of those things. So there's your management succession issue. There's just layers and layers. And again, the extent of any of them is going to depend on the particular situation, as to which ones need more attention than others.
And as we've talked before, most business owners are run out of day every day before they run out of things to do. And so they're all consumed by operating the business and selling and collecting and HR and payroll and all these things. So when they come to you, they have to call a timeout, and now it's time to talk about some big picture items.
Right. And that's why I think they don't always tend to resolve themselves quickly either, and I think that's okay. What classic case of that would be someone who has children in the business, and they're in their 20s or 30s, and they're thinking about all this stuff. They should be thinking about all this stuff. They may be testing them in management. They need to take some time to figure out whether those children can, be the management successors or the owner successors. These things need to be chewed on and not necessarily decided right away, but it's good to always have them in the back of your mind.
Well, Grant, that's a great point that you make. So far we've been talking about building enterprise value and building a business to the point where you sell it. It's not always as simple as buy or sell. It might be a merger. It might be anything else. But when we're talking about succession planning, most of our listeners are going to say, I don't want to talk about selling my business. I've had two or three bad years. The economy's down. Things are tough. I'm not doing as well as I have been, and maybe my business isn't worth as much as it's been. But it's a great time to talk about succession planning, isn't it?
It is. Well, especially for a family succession. And it's a little counterintuitive. But I guess the first thing I'd have to preface this with is most of these succession techniques that work when valuations are low are premised on an estate tax which doesn't exist in 2010.
Okay. So far.
So far. We don't know where that's going. But assuming that at least in 2011 something's coming back and could be we have something coming in this year that will even be retroactive. These techniques are intended to help transfer value in ways that will reduce estate tax or gift tax issues. And that's often one of the big problems that successful business owners have is that they have a very illiquid asset, and yet if there was a gift tax or an estate tax to be paid, it's going to be a very big number, and so there's no liquidity. And so, how do you arrange to transfer this? Well, valuations are low. That just gives you an opportunity to transfer to the next generation before the next presumed growth period happens. So it's a great way to and a great time to think about succession planning within families.
But, so assuming the estate tax comes back, and it will, I said it right here, but assuming that comes back, the fact that your revenues might be off a little bit, the fact that your profitability might be off a little bit would cause an appraisal of that business to be lower than it might have been a couple years ago. And so at that point, you can transfer more of those shares to family members and future generations with the thought that they're going to be much more valuable when the economy comes around and the business picks up and moves forward.
Exactly. And then to leverage, again, there are ways to arrange transactions of the business interests in ways that will receive a discounted value in terms of IRS taxation. So if you have a minority interest, a lack of control issue, if you have a lack of marketability issue, those are recognized within the law as causing a discount to what the market value would otherwise be. So when you start compounding that with low market valuation, you know, you really have some opportunities there. And sometimes the question is, you know, how much of that do you want to use? Sometimes you have to build in not only the strategy of looking to try to transfer a lot of this, but also on the other side is, what if it's too successful? What if I've transferred more of the value? And there are ways to do all that.
But those issues that you're talking about in transferring shares, there are some very specific rules on how to handle that. You have to get the appraisals. You have to take appropriate discounts. You have to document the file. But that all comes back to the estate planning question, doesn't it?
Sure. Well, it mixes up a little with some of the legal entity work as well, because you're probably not going to want to transfer or voting shares, or if you do, you want to be careful about it. So you may want to restructure, you know, your company so that you have voting shares and non-voting shares, and then you can do some of these transfers with non-voting shares. So everything is related to everything else, and that's why it's such a quagmire, I think, for most folks, and opens up an opportunity for somebody like me to come in and say, well, let's just take a step back here and let's take a piece at a time and let's think about what you're trying to do here, and then let's start assembling the pieces.
So kind of like balancing on the scale of the person's goals.
Right. Yeah. That's got to be, as Tom was alluding to, you've got to, everybody's going to be different. There's no cookie cutter. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just, how do we get there from where you are? And people have to make choices. I mean, we have so many different, even legal systems, let's say, of rules on different things that you might try to achieve an estate tax efficiency, but that's going to cause you to have an income tax inefficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start making choices, right? And there are, examples of that in with other different aspects of your situation as well. And so there's, again, prioritizing, and there's I think a lot of it is just understanding, you know. And this is where I think if we can have some conversation with somebody, they start understanding a little bit what the lay of the land is, seeing what their choices are, they can start getting more clarity for themselves about the direction that they want to take.
Do you really have to start at the beginning and say, how are you structured? Are you a sole proprietorship? Are you a corporation? Are you an S-Corp? Are you an LLC? Do you have partners? Do you have family?
It's a big information gathering exercise in the very beginning, you know, because you can't really understand somebody's situation without getting all of that detail and then start asking the questions about what they care about and what they want to try to do, given all of that detail of their situation.
Grant, I'm curious, how do you find business owners as a group in general? When you meet them, how have they done on the wills and trusts and estate planning and generation skipping things? Are they up to speed? Are they cognizant of it? Are they like the rest of us? We don't want to talk about that, but sooner or later you have to.
Well, maybe I would say that aside from the fact that they are one of the busiest groups of people that you would talk about, you know, that might skew it a little bit more toward that they haven't paid as much attention to this maybe as they should have. But other than that, I would say they fall in with the rest of society. You know, there aren't really all that many people who do planning. And I've found certain different categories of people who do plan. Some of them, it's in their nature. They're planners, and some business leaders are that way. Some entrepreneurs are that way. They're great planners. They've got their arms around all this stuff. They're very proactive about it. Another group that I've encountered are those who have had a personal experience as a result of bad planning.
Okay.
And they say, I'm never going to let this happen to me or my family. And so they are determined. You know, so those are a couple of different groups I've seen. But generally speaking, you know, people should probably pay a little more attention to their planning. And a lot of it, you know, is not urgent, but it's important. And so it's doing that old balancing test about just don't pay attention to, you know, some of the things that maybe seem urgent but not important.
We've been doing this show for, what, a year now?
Yes.
And, well, we have gotten so many great pieces of advice on planning and the instruments. Is there a point when there's too much planning, too soon, too quick? I mean, I heard you say, you know, do it methodically or, you know, it's not all urgent. But is there just too much?
Well, I think the way I would understand that would be if there was inflexibility in the planning, that could cause some problems. Or if you did some planning and you didn't review it at certain times. So I have one client who went through and did an estate plan, and their financial situation changed dramatically within 9 months. Oof. And I said, you know, I know you just got done doing this planning 9 months ago, but now let me pull out your balance sheet today. And now let's look at what you planned before. And what you planned before said X, and at that time it meant this. Today, it means this. Now, is that what you want? If that's what you want, leave it alone. If that's not what you want,
okay.
You know, it's very different. So you can build a lot of flexibility into planning, but it should be, you know, reviewed periodically as well. I think all professional advisors would tell you that.
Grant, I would guess with business owners being as busy as they are, I'm a business owner, so are you, Sam. We've been at this a long time. I would guess what usually happens is they had a plan that put together 10 years ago, haven't touched it since, and things change. I would guess that's a little more prevalent, a little more often that you see that.
It happens a lot, and especially as you were talking about, you know, my interaction with bankers and so forth, you know, that's a lot of what I see. They've maybe even done some planning, but we try to look at it and say, well, what does that mean today? And
I like that part of it because, yeah, I mean, the plans are nice. But it's a starting point, you know. And what I like is that you come back and say, doesn't mean the same anymore. Let's put this in context.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some of the people that we've talked to are recommending like an annual or a biannual checkup. Take a look at the estate plan. Take a look at your exit strategy. Take a look at these things. What do you recommend to your clients?
Well, yeah, I think for estate planning, anywhere 3 to 5 years, or we say significant changes in your circumstances. Now that might be that you have a grandchild.
Mm-hmm. That's a significant change, and a lovely one, by the way.
And all of a sudden, you know, you have a different outlook on things and different goal. But for other planning needs, you know, it might, obviously people were looking at their retirement issues recently in light of the market downturn and so forth. So,
or delaying their retirement issues, which we all are. Grant, it sounds like a business owner can come to you and they can talk about everything from soup to nuts. They can talk about retirement. They can talk about financial planning, estate planning. They can talk about where they're going with their business, how to build enterprise value. If one of our listeners is out there and they're thinking, boy, I've got to do something with this, where do they start?
Yeah, just a phone call. I would have them expect that I'm going to ask them about their life, you know, what's going on and what's happening and what's their business about. And there's an awful lot that we need to understand before we can start saying, well, have you thought about this, or have you thought about that, or
clearly these are confidential discussions. and what would you say for the first meeting with the business owner? There's no obligation,
right?
Just let's have lunch or let's have coffee, let's chat, see if there's anything I can help you with. Is that where you go?
Right, and see kind of what's on their mind. And if this conversation has rung a bell in somebody's mind, there's probably a reason for it. Something there that we said made them think about their situation and something that they wondered about. They know they've covered, or a lot of times people do planning and then they forget what their planning was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because a lot of it is technical stuff, right?
And right.
What did I do anyway?
And how does that work again?
Yeah, how does that work? And so sometimes it's just, well, let's bring in your documents. Let's take a quick look at them and see if that still makes sense for you.
Grant, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think you hit on it when you were asking those questions about think about your planning and don't delay. It's always a good time. Even if it's not a burning item today, it probably has a lot of significance for you and your family and something you should pay attention to.
So, Sam, I think we found our guy. This is the guy for business owners to go have a chat with and figure out, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? What types of things do I need to be thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the time we have for today. I'm Tom Lyons, and I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich. I'd like to thank Grant Wacker, Senior Vice President and Wealth Specialist from Wells Fargo, for being with us today to talk about business issues for business owners and where they're going with their lives on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.